kind of different coming up with after the music that we've been having with Vacation Bible School. And it really brings a lot of memories in my heart because and my pilgrimage with the Lord started at a late age. In other words, I was in the 40s when God really started speaking to me. And when I went to seminary and came back, it's hard to remember exactly how old I was, but you know, I wasn't really young, but the one thing God has blessed me with is a lot of energy. In other words, Sandy has some trouble with my energy level because it becomes very, very strong when I get excited about doing things. And I appreciate this opportunity to share God's word with you. It's been a number of years since I preached, but God has put on my heart one of the patriarchs. And I want to tell you about a man that lived in England. His name was Steve Cunningham. Actually, there's two Steve Cunninghams. One of them is in the States, and he's a boxer. But the Steve Cunningham I want to talk about became blind at the age of 12. And he just wouldn't let that slow him down. He just had the power to move past it. And he wanted to fly a plane. He got some software that would tell him what the instruments were saying and everything. Now, the Aviation Association would not let him fly by himself because one of the problems is you can't fly into another airplane. There's not anything that'll tell you there's another airplane up there. But he wanted to set a record of being able to fly all over England, all over that country. And he even set a speed record of 141 miles an hour in a racing car. And he, a year later, this was in 99, and he even did a boat going really fast. But the interesting thing about it, he was doing all this without being able to see. And today we're going to be talking about faith. And we could say that, according to Cunningham, that acting on the information he received was how he decided how to do things. And in a sense, faith is not being able to see, but when it comes to the spiritual things, the ability to ignore what you see and to rely on the things you know that are positive is what faith is. Now, I want to, you know, we live in a country that really the true meaning of faith has somewhat been lost because we want to see what we believe in. We want to touch it. We want to feel of it. We want to experience it. We want to marvel at it. And to have faith in something that we can't see and touch and everything is really a problem. And it's hard for us to move into what really God wants us is the faith where we literally believe in what's promised. Now, I want us to, if we went to scholars and said, who would be the greatest man of faith? And they're going to talk about a lot of people, you know, Noah. And but I think when they get down to it and when they get with the last person, it cannot be anybody but Abraham. Abraham was a very, very strong person. He was a special person. And when we look at Abraham, the Bible tells us, Paul writes in Romans, he's the father of all who believe. Good, we got the passage up. We weren't sure this was going to work where it would be up, so I made notes that you have in your Bible. And but anyway, he was a father of all who believe. And Abraham had a distinction that was really important. God considered him his friend. And look what the Bible says in James 2, verse 23. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. What an honor. What an honor. Think of two people that have blessings like that, and Dave was called a man after my own heart. In other words, having credit by God in God's word is tremendous. Now, we want to look today at faith because that's something really important. Without faith, you can't know Jesus. You can't know God. In other words, you cannot get salvation without faith. It's the root of a Christian, and it's a beginning of the walk that any of us would have, is with faith. Everything we do. And the interesting thing about it, when we become a Christian, the faith that we have is at the weakest point, but that faith begins to grow as we move through our lives. I've noticed a lot of people that have come forward, they are always committing themselves again because they cannot get the assurance. Their faith is so weak, it just doesn't seem to be strong enough for them to realize that God has done something. The mics. It's done something in their heart. Now, faith is interesting because we have one definition that's given for spiritual faith, and this is a little different than what Webster says. Webster tells us, well, I'm having some of the senior adult. Okay, Webster tells us that faith is something that we hope for, but it doesn't go into the point that spiritual. And when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, I hope I don't lose everybody because I test this out on Sandy, but faith is working in a different way. If you wanted to put it like a planet, faith would be the planet, and around it are two moons that are moving around. One is the future, and the other is invisible. Faith is working in the invisible, and it's working in the future. Now, future is the assurance of things that are hoped for, and the invisible is a conviction of things that are not seen. So this orbit of faith is working. Now, faith and hope are really together. There are two things that work side by side. And it's something that works within us in our heart and our mind. Now, I want us to see that we go back to that friend of God, Abraham, and in Hebrews is something very special the way it describes that. And let's look at Hebrews. Now, remember, Abraham lived 4,000 years ago. In other words, he was a person. And Abraham had a faith that was like concrete. But I want you to realize, you know, concrete, a lot of you have put it on and everything. It can crack, and it can also have pieces that will come out. And I would consider that being the unfaith. In other words, the things that don't work. But still, it's hard. It's a hard substance. And Abraham had a faith like concrete. Now, I see from this story, and let's read, beginning with verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land of promise him, he lived there by faith. For he was a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundation, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was old. She believed that God would keep his promise. So a whole nation came from one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore have no way to count. I want us to see that Abraham, as he walked, I see three keys that I want us to look at. And the first key is that we go with God without knowing where. In other words, we move along without knowing where we're going. You see this, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He obeyed when he was calling. And literally, before God finished the call, Abraham was moving. That's a key to we obey. We don't sit there and say, well, why should I go? Why do I need to? You know, I don't understand this. That's going to be some problems. When God calls us to do something, and remember, the first calling God will give will be for us to become a believer in him, to believe that Jesus died on the cross. But then after that, God will put on our minds with a little small voice that he has of different things that he wants us to do. And those things are callings that God gives us. Now, he obeyed. You look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and now the Lord said to Abram, he literally spoke to him. Now, we don't know exactly how he said it, and I remembered that Southern Baptist Convention, there was a president that everybody thought that he was going to run again, that he'd be, you know, for a number of years because they really liked him. And he actually made a comment, well, I don't feel God has said that he doesn't want me to run, in the words again. And they asked him, well, you mean you're not going to run? And all the reporters got real interested. You know how reporters are. They just swarm in. They have all these questions. They asked him, well, what kind of voice did God tell you that? And he said, well, he told me not to do. And he said, was it audible? Did you hear it? And he said, well, it was a lot louder than that. In other words, he was told and he realized that, yes, he shouldn't do it. And we have to understand that God will speak to us in many ways, but it's a strong voice that we have. I remember the calling I had. It blew my socks off. I mean, it just literally was something that I can't describe. It just literally was a lot louder than you could imagine. Now, Abraham, when he was called, and this has been bothering me ever since I started working on this, he was 75 years old, and you know, I'm 2 years older than that right now, and that really bothers me, of being that old. I just never thought I was going to be this old. You know, some reason I always made fun of the people that were older, and now I'm at that age, and I have trouble being somewhere where I'm the not the oldest person there. I know maybe some of you are older than I am, but man, I have trouble every time I go somewhere, they look at me, well, I'm the oldest one that's there. And that's hard on us when we get like that. But here, Abraham, he walked with God for 100 years after he was called. And Sarah had a baby after he was called. And it's an age that, you know, women just don't have kids at that age. You know, they're usually have gone way beyond the point in living. But these are things that God promised that were going to happen. Now, the city that he left, and this will be really important, Ur of the Chaldeans was a wonderful city. And they did an excavation in 1922 to 24, and they found it was a great city. It had big malls and three-story buildings. And here Abraham left that with 300 people to go where God had called, not even knowing where he was going to be going. You know, when God calls, we almost need to take the step of motion before and just to keep moving, not to question what's happening. Now, you might say, well, you know, I really don't have the strength to be able to do that. Well, the Scripture tells us that we have that strength. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. In other words, God is helping us to be able to do it. He just doesn't come to us and call us without giving us some help. And we need to understand the second key is waiting on God without knowing when. Without knowing when that he wants us to stop. In other words, or how to do it. Going and serving God without knowing when. In a Christian walk of faith, you have to be true to God's call without knowing when it's going to stop. You look at what was said in verse 10. He, Abraham, was looking for a city whose foundations, whose architect and builder was God. You know, every time I read that, I think about it, he's probably referring to the holy city, The one in Revelation where the streets are gold. The streets are so pure that you can see through them. Now that's pure gold. In other words, we always think of gold being a gold color, but the purest gold will be what the city is made of, the streets that you can see through because they're so pure, you can see through them. Now Abraham, when he lived in where God had called him, he was an alien. In fact, it was a pilgrimage he had of being an alien in a foreign land because where God had promised would be after he died. Our walk with the Lord. And look at, as Abraham might have said, the Lord, when is, you know, my son going to come? I don't understand. In other words, here I'm so old and everything. But not Abraham. He was always moving on God's last word, and he continued to move. Now, I want us to see that when you look at Abraham. And you may want to take out your Bibles later and read in chapter 12 through 25 because Abraham's walk with the Lord is really interesting. There's so many things that he did, and learning how he did it helps us on our Christian walk. But it's interesting because the Bible tells us in Proverbs, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my door, waiting at my doorway." We need to be waiting at the door when God hasn't called us, at the door of the Lord, that he can give us the next thing that he would want us to do. And the next and the final key is believing in God without knowing how it's going to happen. Without knowing how it's going to happen. And this is the hardest thing for us to believe, is going and serving God without knowing how, because we want to know the impossible things. That how are they going to work? How will it happen? How will it be enough money to do what God is calling, or to leave? I'm going somewhere. In other words, I don't know where, so what do I know what to carry? And there's so many questions we'll have, but we don't need to worry about that. We just need to know that God's going to provide it for us. You know, Moses at the Red Sea, God said, "You're going to cross this sea." He didn't argue. In other words, he was right there. He just understood that God was going to be there. Remember when God said to sacrifice Isaac, and he put him on the altar, and he was ready. The angel stopped him from killing him because he believed. God wanted to see, did he have the true belief? In other words, would he do that? The promise, in view of facts that are impossible, is sometimes where God tests us, that how strong is our faith? What kind of faith do we have? Now, interestingly, Abraham was 86 years old when he was promised a child, but Sarah, it was a doubting of the faith. He gave him her concubine that, "Here, take my lady and have a child through her because I'm too old to do it." And here Ishmael came out of that. And let me tell you, we're suffering from that act of unfaith today because Ishmael's descendants are fighting against Isaac's descendants. Now, we're all part of Isaac's descendants. That's the Jews. And they're having war. And you see it. The Palestinians, the Muslims, and the Jews are fighting. They've been fighting ever since the beginning, and they're still fighting. Now, some of the ones that we're hearing about now are the kind of a little off the beliefs that were really given down. But I was surprised when I studied this that the Muslims believed that Isaac was not the one, it was Ishmael that was sacrificed on the altar. And of course they don't believe in the Bible, they have the Quran that they believe in. And folks, that is not what the truth is. The Bible is our truth. That's what we should be believing. And the interesting thing about it is, your Christian walk, you're going to develop your faith not by any other means but by the Word of God. In other words, hearing the Word and reading the Word. That's how we become stronger in our faith. We walk with God, reading His Word. Now, I want to see, I'm jumping here. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ in Romans 10:17. Now, if you don't read your Bible, if this is not part of your daily work, I can guarantee you that your faith has some little cracks in it and has some problems. You've got to get a habit. In 84, I started reading the Bible through every year. Now, I may miss a little bit. Sometimes you make a mistake. But every year, I've gone through the Bible since 84. I have a plan that I read, and Sandy now, and I read it together. Or actually, we listen to it because it's the easiest way we have. But if you don't have a way to read your Bible, and I don't mean just to scatter things, I mean to go through the Bible, because what happens, it starts setting in your heart. And when things come up, the answer comes to you because you know God's Word. You know His Word. And that's the only way that you're going to have faith that grows stronger and stronger, because God's Word is part of you. Where would you feel today that your walk is? You know, has God been nugging at you? In other words, there are things that
This sound better?
I know I don't have the strongest voice. Well, you know, that it's always technical problems that we have, and what worried me more than anything, always knowing there's technical problems. Well, what's going to happen today when I preach? You know, will I, you know, was my suspender break, or was something, you know, really bad happen? Or and I'll notice that I keep stepping on the back of my pants. In other words, I think they need to be tighter so they'll hold up. Maybe I'm shrinking, and that could be a problem, getting shorter. But anyway, there are many things that happen in our life, and we have to understand sometimes the people that we're friendly with are the wrong ones. In other words, those are causing us to be away from God, and He knows that we need new friends. And sometimes it can be many things, but whatever God is tugging at your heart and saying this is what you need, that's what you need to lay down and move without a question, because God says, take that first step and move toward me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for what you've done in each life here, and we just pray that you will convict everybody that growing in faith is something that we all have to do. Maybe there's someone who has something they need to lay down. And Father, we just pray that hearts will be convicted today from your word. For it is Christ Jesus we pray. Would y'all stand as we have an invitation?